from Cole Harbor Road from congregation. When I was up there announcing before, the name just wouldn't jump in. I apologize to y'all, but it came to me. I'm like, oh. But anyway, we're glad to have y'all with us. And as I said earlier, Kay is checking us out. They're thinking about moving over to this area. So we really welcome you here. Couple of things. One other thing I need to tell you about that I neglected to tell you in our announcements. We all know that Gary and Nikki are going to be leaving, I think, the end of June. Gary's got orders for Korea, and so that means that Nikki, I've tried to talk her into staying, but she won't do that for some reason. So we have Judy Taylor is going to be our new secretary. In fact, she is already. She started, and her and Nikki are going to be working together through the end of June when Nikki leaves. And so they're working on a lot of things, trying to get a lot of things caught up that they're a little bit behind on and so forth. But I want you to welcome Judy as our new secretary here. And have any questions going on about the office or whatever? She's in charge now. But we're certainly glad, and I'm excited about having Judy on board as the secretary. And so she's going to be helping Nikki out in the next couple weeks, especially as we get through Ladies' Day next week, 2 weeks from now, and Vacation Bible School. So she's got her work cut out for her. We've been talking about living for Jesus, and this lesson this morning is the last in our series of 9 lessons that we've been doing on living for Jesus. And so we're going to finish that series up today. And some of the things that we've been talking about as we've been doing this study is we look at the world and how corrupt and how sinful the world is and all of the stuff that's going on in the world, that we've really got a lot of problems. And the world is really in a mess, isn't it? The problem is, and we've been addressing this all along, is that the reality is many Christians aren't living in ways that are much different from the way the world is living today. People want what we refer to as Christianity light. I want some Christianity, but I don't want the whole thing. I want to be halfway committed. When it comes to studying the Bible, they want to be able to pick and choose the things that they agree with, the things that they don't. They want to leave those. It's kind of almost like a buffet. You know, you pick the things you want, the things you don't want, you leave them there. I usually leave the vegetables alone. That's the way a lot of Christians are treating the Bible today. And what we've been saying all along through this study is that is not acceptable for God's people. We have got to be different from the world, and we've got to make sure the world knows that we are different. The reality is that the world is dysfunctional.
Amen.
Right? And the question for us is, how do we, as God's people, live in a dysfunctional world? How do we function, especially when, again, as we've been saying all along, that the new functional or dysfunctional is the new functional. Is everything is tipped upside down. There's hardly a week that goes by anymore that I don't read something or hear something on the news that just kind of makes my mind go, where did that come from? You know? I was reading an article just this morning in the news about the Attorney General and some others in the political circles that are considering prosecution for those who disagree with climate change. Yes. Yes. You see, for those who don't get on board and stand against climate change, they're looking at ways that they can be prosecuted for that. You can go, wait a minute, did you not hear about free speech in the Constitution? But again, that's just an example of how dysfunctional our world and our culture and our country is becoming. But that's where we live, isn't it? You see? And so the issue then becomes, how do we as God's people live holy lives in an unholy world? Okay? Jesus called upon us to be the light of the world. Not to escape from it, and certainly not to hide ourselves from the world, but rather to let our light shine so that people can find that light and find their way to Jesus. Even in all the dysfunction and all the darkness out there are still people that are looking for life, or they're looking for life. And if they don't find it through us, they're not going to find it. Okay? So we've got to figure out and know, how do we function as God's people in a world that is terribly unholy? Okay? We need to understand, and this is one of the things we've been focusing on throughout this, how does what we do, if that's the choices that we make, the things that we do, the places that we go, the things we watch on TV, all of those kinds of things, how do they affect other people? We claim to be God's children. How does what we do, what we say, and all those things affect other people? People in our own homes, our own family members, the people in our neighborhoods, our next door neighbors, the people that we live around, the people that our children go to school with, the people on our jobs. How do those things, the choices we make and the things we do, affect them? But then also, how do those choices and the decisions and the things we do affect ourselves? And one thing I've been focusing on throughout this is we need to keep that in mind, because those things affect us now in our daily lives, but they also affect us for all eternity. So that's been the focus of our study on living for Jesus. This morning, as I mentioned to you, this is the last lesson. We're going to conclude this series and talk about living for Jesus. This is going to be a little bit different than what we've done before. We're going to be talking about living with and without fear. Okay? Now, in the previous lessons, we talked about how living with trust and living with love and all those other things we've been talking about. It's like we need to live with those things in our lives. But fear is a little bit different, because there's some aspects of fear we need to live with in our lives, and there are some aspects of it that we need to have out of our lives. So let's take a look at this whole idea of living with and without fear. Okay? The first part of this is recognizing and looking at this particular question. Fear is a duty for God's people? Well, you go to the text that we read as we began this morning, Ecclesiastes 12. Now, the wise man Solomon has done this investigation, he says, to find out, you know, the meanings of life and what's important and all of those other things. And he goes through and he says he used all of his resources. He did everything he could. Wisest man in the world, right? To search out the most important things and the meaning of life. And he says the conclusion of the matter, after everything has been investigated, the conclusion of the matter is this. That we are to fear God and keep His commandments, for this, he says, is the whole duty of man. We are to fear God and keep His commandments. Well, what does that mean? Does God want us to be, you know, kind of trembling in fear of Him and want to hide from Him? And like Adam and Eve did in the garden when they sinned and God, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and God called out to them, and He said they hid because they were afraid. Is that the kind of relationship that God wants with us? Is that what the wise man Solomon is telling us that God wants? And I would suggest to you, no. But in order for us to really know that, we need to understand some things about fear, okay? And the reality is, there are a lot of different phobias that people have today. In fact, if you look up, do a Bing search or a Google search on phobias, I found a list on there, and there were 137 just in this alphabetical list, A through C. 137. There are hundreds of different phobias. Some of them you are probably familiar with. Some of them probably not so familiar with. Like this one, aviophobia. That is a fear of flying. Okay? This next one you're probably very familiar with. You've seen it on the movies. Arachnophobia. The fear of spiders. Right? Now, there are some others that you probably aren't quite so familiar with, all right? So, there is ablutophobia, which is a fear of bathing. Okay? I've known some people like that. Okay? In fact, Tommy South and I, we were going to Ukraine one time. We got on a plane with a guy that I know has this phobia. Okay? And so did everybody else on the plane. Fortunately, he was sitting behind us. All right, but there's a phobia for you. How about clinophobia? There's a lot of little children, I think, that have this one. It's the fear of going to bed. Okay, especially when there's a lot of stuff going on, they don't want to miss anything. That's the way some of my grandchildren are. Okay, but the fear of going to bed. Now, here's one that I think is legitimate. All right, ballistophobia is a fear of bullets or missiles. Okay, you know, yeah. All right, that's a good one there. Okay, but this one is, I thought this was kind of strange. Orophobia is a fear of gold.
Okay.
What's that all about? Okay, all right. There's a fear of gold. All right. This one is probably, there's a lot of folks that are you know, have this phobia. Right? Pantherophobia, the fear of mother-in-laws. Hey, look, these are legitimate phobias. These are phobias that have been listed. Okay. All of these movies, fear of mother-in-laws, all right? This one is kind of, you know, conselectophobia is a fear of chopsticks. I guess maybe it's that fear of getting someone sticking one in your eye or something. I don't know, but, you know, I hope it's not very very contagious over there in China. Those folks would be really starving, okay? But this is a legitimate phobia, fear of chopsticks. This one, I think, is really... It's real and it's legitimate and it's widespread. Ecclesiophobia, the fear of church. Okay? Fear of church. I think that one is spreading more and more today. All right? People don't want to go to church because they don't want to hear the truth of the Bible. All right? A lot of different phobias out there, a lot of things that people are afraid of. Okay? The wise man in Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." But there it is again, this idea of fearing God. What does that really mean? And is that a fear that you and I should be living with? Okay, well, we need to understand some different words that are used in the Bible for fear. Okay? And there are a lot of different words, and we're going to concentrate on a couple of them. And first, the first one is the Hebrew word, yaare. And that word has two different meanings. All right? The first one is being afraid of someone. That's kind of like, you know, this idea of, you know, you're scared, you're shaking in your boots, or that kind of an idea, like, you know, hiding in your shell, so to speak, because you are afraid for your life, or something of that nature. The second meaning is standing in awe, or a piety of man towards God. Now, we have two different meanings here of the same word. How do you know which one fits? Well, the rule in biblical interpretation, and it's a rule for just about any interpretation really, is you always have to go back to the context. And the context will help you to understand which application of the word it fits that one the best, okay? So as we go through this, let's take a look at and try to understand, does God want us to be shaking in our shell, so to speak? Or does God want us to be standing in awe of Him? Okay? Again, Ecclesiastes 12, the end of the matter, after everything has been examined, the end of the matter is to fear God and keep His commandments, for that is our duty. We have a duty to God, the wise man says, to fear Him and keep His commandments. Which meaning fits there? Well, we've already said God doesn't want us to be shaking in our boots or hiding in our shell from Him. God wants us to recognize Him as the awesome God that He is. You see? And to give Him the praise and worship and honor that is due Him. That is our duty. And so if we fear God in that way, then we have nothing to fear. Think about it. You see? If we recognize how awesome God is and we worship and praise Him, and we respect who God is, we have nothing to fear in this life. We will live then in obedient relationship with Him because He is an awesome God, as we just sang a few moments ago. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And that's the kind of fear that the wise man tells us that it is our duty to have. You see? To recognize God's awesomeness. And to honor Him as such. To fail to do so. You see, to fail to recognize God's awesomeness would put us in a situation where we need to fear God's retribution. Second kind. Ask that question. You're familiar with that term. Is that a yellow streak down your back? What does that mean? Well, typically we associate that idea with cowardice, don't we?
Yeah.
See? We use that term. You know, someone's a coward, we call them yellow. Right? So we ask that question. Again, we have to look at three different words in the New Testament, Greek words, for the word fear. Right? The first one that we need to look at is this word called dilia, and that denotes cowardice and timidity. Why is it so important for us to understand this? Because of something that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. He says that God did not give us a spirit of fear or dilia, literally cowardice. God did not give us that kind of a spirit, but He gave us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And in verse 8 and 9, this is what He says. So then do not be ashamed to do what? To testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, His prisoner. But join with me, here it comes, in doing what? Suffering for the gospel. By the power of God who has saved us and has called us to, look at this, what have we been talking about through this whole thing? A holy life. How do we live a holy life in this unholy world? Well, one thing we cannot do in order to accomplish that is to be cowardly. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. See? God did not give us a spirit that would allow us to be cowards. He gave us a spirit that allows us to be bold and telling others about Him and be willing to suffer. Why? Typically, think about it, are people cowards? Because they don't want to suffer. But yet, is that not what Jesus calls upon His disciples to do, is to suffer for Him? I mean, after all, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, what do you have to do? Take up your cross daily and follow me. And we've said this before in our studies. The cross meant only one thing. Crosses were for dying on. And that's what Jesus calls upon us to do. So being a Christian is not for cowards, is basically what Paul is telling Timothy. It's not for cowards. That's contrary, by the way, to what the world thinks today, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You see? But Paul says that's not the kind of spirit that God has given to His people. He gave us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. So that we really can, as we suffer in this world, we can live holy lives. Okay? When we're afraid to tell others about Jesus for fear of suffering, that is dilia. It's cowardice. All right? And I think everybody recognizes this guy. All right? And the message that Paul sends to Timothy and to you and I today is that is unacceptable for God's people. So this is definitely a fear that you and I need to live without in our daily lives.
Amen.
Okay? Peter writes in 1 Peter 3, And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And he says, do not be afraid. Be afraid of what? of their threats, nor be troubled. Basically, what Peter is saying is, and I think generally speaking, this is true, that if you're doing what is right, people are going to leave you alone. That's pretty reasonable, isn't it? But the reality is it doesn't always happen that way. Even good people suffer, right?
Amen.
And sometimes good people suffer at the hands of bad people.
Amen.
And so that's why he says, but even if you should suffer for living righteously, okay, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of their threats. Don't be afraid of what the world is throwing at you. You live in the power of the Spirit. Okay? That power of the Spirit, of power, of love, and of self-discipline. There's another Greek word called phobos, which is a word that we get our English word phobia from. Okay? Meaning fear. That word also has two meanings. And it's very much like the Hebrew word yare, okay? In that its meanings, first of all, is being scared, that which may cause flight. Okay, the idea of running scared, somebody that's taken off, they're running for fear of their life. That's one of the meanings of this word. The other is reverential fear as a motive, okay, a controlling motive for one's life. In other words, that kind of fear is what governs how we live. Everybody follow me on that? So living for Jesus every day, I'm motivated by that reverential fear, that holding God in awe, motivates me to live a certain way. Does that make sense? Okay? Delia and Phobos, in this context, all right, that Paul is talking about here, and Timothy and Peter rather talking about, are fears that we should not live with, that we should have this cowardice about us, or that we should be running scared. Neither one of those are acceptable for God's holy people. So these are fears that we must live without in our daily lives. Okay? And then there is fear conquered by love. Right? John writes in 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Alright? Now, in this text, the Greek word again is phobos. Alright? But notice how John uses this word. In other words, let's break it down. What is he actually saying here? Well, basically he's saying we should not fear, that is, run away from God. Okay? Because perfect love casts out fear. In other words, it keeps us from running away. The word that is used here is that word phobos, that running scared. All right? And when we have perfect love, we're not going to run away from God. All right? Everybody follow me so far? All right? Let's look at another part of that. He says, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. For fear or because fear has to do with what? With punishment. All right? One who fears is not made perfect in love. So basically what John is telling us here is, if you fear in this kind of a way, then you don't have love. So again, that's a fear that you and I as God's holy people need not to be living with in our lives. And then finally, the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 12, verse 28, he says, therefore, and I like the word therefore, we've talked about this many times before, whenever there's a therefore, what's coming is based on what's just been said, right? Okay? And so all the things that he's been saying here about faith and about the kingdom, here's what he says here, since we are receiving what? A kingdom, and what kind of kingdom is it? Specifically, he says one that cannot be shaken. In other words, the kingdom that we're getting is one that nothing can hurt, nothing can harm, nothing can shake it, nothing can disturb the kingdom of God. And since that's the kind of kingdom that we are receiving, he says, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably With what? With reverence and godly fear. Because of the kind of kingdom that we have, the kind of kingdom we're receiving through Jesus Christ, the result needs to be our serving God with reverence and awe. Literally, what he's saying here in the original language, it literally says we may serve well-pleasingly God with devoutness and awe. Here's the third Greek word. Eulabeia means reverence. But look at the next part here. That mingled fear and love, which combined, constitute the piety of man toward God. Do you understand what he's saying here? In other words, you combine that fear, that awe of God, the reverence that we have for who he is, with love. You can't help but to love and obey him. And that's what God calls upon us to do. That's the kind of fear that God wants us as his holy people to be living with in our lives. You say, it's definitely the kind of fear that we should have. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom when it's that kind of fear. A fear that mingles with love and causes us to reverence him and to honor him as our God. Not a fear that causes us to hide from him or to shake in our boots or to tremble. A fear that brings us to his throne in worship to him. It's recognizing God for the awesome, wonderful God that he is. That in turn draws us to be, in response to him, his holy people. How do we live in an unholy world that we are living in? We live in that world as God's holy people when we revere and respect the holy God that we have. I hope that this whole study that we've been doing has been beneficial to you and challenging you to think about the ways that God calls upon his people to live in a world that is so unholy that sometimes, you know, you can't help but wonder, what in the world are we going to do? But through this study, hopefully I've been able to help you find some answers in what we need to do and how we need to do things so that we make sure that we represent God in the right and proper way. And that we have God's power in our lives to help us as we're dealing with whatever we deal with on a daily basis in our lives. That's what God has provided to his holy people. And certainly this last lesson, calling upon us to recognize that God does not want us to be shaking in our boots before him. He wants us to reverence and to respect and to love him in all. Now, having said all of that, for those who choose to disobey God and to ignore him, okay, then phobos is the right word. See? Because you need to fear what the outcome of your life will be if you do not reverence and respect God. We look at our daily lives, and I know, stuff that goes on in our lives. This world is tough, isn't it? And so all of us face different kinds of struggles and different things going on in our lives that we need. We need reassurance and we need God's power in our lives every day. There may be somebody here this morning that's struggling with some things going on. Maybe your idea of God, and maybe there's things that have gone on in your life that's causing you to have a different idea of God and fearing him. I've had people ask me questions like, I don't know if God really can forgive me for the sins in my life. And they're really, literally afraid to die. That's not what God wants from you. See? God promised that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will cleanse us of our unrighteousness. But we don't have to fear that. If you confess your sins, then he will forgive them. That's a promise. And God doesn't want you to live in fear. He wants you to live in hope of his promises.
Amen.
So, if there's somebody here this morning that maybe is struggling with something like that, we want to help you get rid of that fear. So that you can have the right kind of fear of God, reverence and awe of him, to worship him as the God that he is. Maybe somebody here this morning who's not yet given your life to Christ. You need to understand that until you do that, you are lost in your sins. And you have everything to fear for your eternal life. Because your sins will separate you from God for all eternity unless you have those sins washed away in waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, this morning. If you're not a Christian, but you desire to become one, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then confess him as Lord of your life. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. We've got water ready, don't we, Chuck? Water's ready, it's warm. Okay? There's no reason for you to wait. If you desire to become a Christian, all you have to do is come up and let me know. And we'll baptize you into Christ right now this morning. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone. If you would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, and I'll be up front here to receive anyone. You'd like to come up, you need prayers or guidance or whatever it is that we, as God's family, can help you with this morning. That's what we want to do. So we have an invitation song. Tom, would you stand up and lead us, please? Let's stand.